And welcome back to the Cinemania World Podcast, everyone. My name is Dwayne, and today we have another episode of the Box Office Report Show. As always, I am joined by my co-host, Larry the Chili Boy, the Chosan. Hello, how are you?
Hey, good to be back. We are back, y'all.
Welcome back, Larry. How you doing? How's it going?
Doing all right. We got some new hype X-Men content in the world, so I'm feeling good.
I know.
It's been years since we've had some good X-Men content, so I'm good.
Everybody on this X-Men 97 is going crazy.
I know. The folks are hype. I hope them ratings are good.
The what? The rate? Yeah, I
because I feel like they will be, though, because I don't know. I've seen a lot of people talking about it.
When I can tell something is doing okay is when I start seeing like cross social medias. So, you know, my Facebook is mostly like my close friends and then like family. So some of my Facebook has been talking about it too. So maybe this is like a sign that people want some X-Men back and not just like silly little like post credits and, you know, Kamala Khan is a mutant. Nah, we want that. No. Do you remember when WandaVision was out and that episode came out, like showing her backstory? And I still remember your reaction when you were like, she's a mutant. And then they did nothing with it.
They did nothing.
And, you know, everybody was like, Magneto's coming in the next in Multiverse of Madness. Remember all that shit?
I mean, we were going wild.
Remember when, what is her name? Michaela something for Black Panther? Everybody was like, that's Storm. Michaela Cole. Yeah. And she was like Adore Melaje, number five.
Somebody, old girl's girlfriend. got cast as the girlfriend and that was it.
People used to be hype, man. It was like Storm is Michaela Cole, which would have been a great casting. Oh, my God.
It just seems like such a... I mean, you don't got to keep her tethered there, but you got this Black Panther franchise. It'd be an easy way to get Storm introduced in there and segue to the X-Men. And they're like, nah, we good.
People were doing the concept arts. I'm looking at this beautiful concept art right here with Michaela Cole with, like, white hair. Oh, man. Yeah. And then the movie comes out, and she's just like, Dora Milaje, number three. And it was
she's somebody's girlfriend. We good. Yeah. That's it. No, it's been fun. It's fun when that's the thing is when they do get these little superhero shows right. It's like a fun time to be online. People had them gifts ready after that X-Men premiere, you know, all the reactions and stuff. So it's like, okay, when they get it going, it's fun. But been a while because even Loki season two was really good, but it didn't have like that kind of hype around it.
Yeah, no, it didn't because it was like. And I, you know, I like the show, too, just because it's, like, reminding me a lot of, like, of course, the original series. Yeah. But it's reminding me a lot of Invincible as well, where it's just, like, the art style is a little different and a little, like, vintage. And I like that about it and stuff. Yeah. And I think the action is great. You know, you can really push the boundaries when it comes to animation. Like, had they did that Cyclops landing... And it would probably look cool, you know, if you got some good VFX artists, but it'll be tougher to execute that than like animation.
And there's just something I love that they kept like the tone. So like they didn't try to make it too cool, you know, for like new audiences. They still have Storm doing these like dramatic ass speeches whenever she uses her powers like she did in the 90s. Or you have like all of them are still saying these kind of corny lines, but I just live for each and every single one of them. Like it's so good. So, and it's stuff that again you can't really do in live action because they try in live action, but it comes off like, oh no, don't please, like no. And then, you know, the movies are back March once again, just like last year. March is the year that we start popping at the movie theater.
Finally, because, like, man, this year was looking and feeling very bleak until we got them into, like, the Dune Then things started to wake up. I'm talking even not just box office, but quality wise too.
Because like, at least last year we had like Megan that opened. Yeah,
it was
stuff
Scream. It was looking bleak this year. I was like, I'm looking at my ranked list, and I know I've missed some movies, but like I still got ISS and Lisa Frankenstein here. And
I'm so glad Dwayne been watching movies that he hates though, because that just means Lisa is working her way up the list.
Yeah, she's bad.
She up there.
Listen, I think something's been going on with me where I kind of been sitting with some movies and I'm like, all right.
He watched some of this other bullshit and was like, you know what? Yeah, maybe it wasn't that bad.
no bullshit, because I was looking at my rank and I was like, Argyle, Madam Web. I finally watched Mean Girls at work on Paramount Plus. What the fuck? And then I'm like, maybe like Lisa Frankenstein and Immaculate wasn't too bad, So quick thoughts on Immaculate, because I saw that. When did I see that? Friday?
Y'all, he came in with the most cryptic message. He just posted in the chat talking about, I have a headache.
You saw it Immaculate, right?
Yeah, I saw it last week.
Okay, Larry, brother, my homie, like my closest friend for a long time, right? Dude, because we have a new show, everyone. The All Women podcast is back. The women from the team, hosted by Josie. They have their own pod on the podcast. It's back. I got some messages too. And there, people were like, "Oh, I'm excited for the women's show because this means it's gonna be." They got blocked. Somebody was like, "Oh, I'm excited for the women's show because this means that the world shows and everything can be like just the guys." Sounds like brother. That's not happening. I don't think it's rare when I have a show with just men.
Yeah.
And I don't plan on like changing that. I like a good variety of everybody here. So I blocked them. I was like, this is weird. You got blocked. Anyway, so we have a new show, Cinemommies. Okay. Cinemania World, on the podcast, the first episode for Love Lies Bleeding with Josie, Amanda and Wonder Meg is there. And they're also good. They're reviewing Immaculate this week. I think Monday or Tuesday they're reviewing it. So I held off on the review because they're going to review it. And it's, it makes sense. But this movie is like, it is fucking wild. And it's like, the reason why I went into the chat and I was like, my ears are bleeding because there's this scene at the end. I don't want to get into spoilers, but there's this scene where Sydney Sweeney is just screaming. And I was like in the middle row of my theater. It's a decent sized theater. They have great speakers in there. I have one ear I'm working with because I'm deaf in one ear. My Stop. Ears were ringing. I said, "Oh, Jesus Christ." And I covered my ear. I was like, "Oh my God." And I wasn't the only one. People were like covering their ears because she is just like screaming. And there are these long drawn out screams. I mean, I thought that scene was great, but I was like, fuck me. It's reminded me of like, I just watched this, like Toni Collette in Hereditary when the girl dies and she's just like doing that harrowing scream, but it's not like loud like how the Sydney Sweeney scream is. Oh my God, my ears were bleeding. But I was like, so it's effective, but my ears were bleeding. I was like, oh my God, this is insane. But it's starting to grow on me. Because when it came in, I was like, this is all right. But I don't know. It's starting to grow on me.
It's like the first two-thirds are, pretty general, like not too much. I mean, it's a little bit of a weird concept. And then that last third kicks in and you're like, oh, this is where the wild begins. Okay.
Oh, yeah, it's wild, start doing
something happens in that third act with Sydney Sweeney in that final scene specifically that I don't think I've ever seen on screen before.
No.
She bites something. I'll just say that. She bites onto something and I was shook it. I was like, oh, damn.
Listen, is she growing on you after this movie or what? Because I thought she was good.
This was by far her best performance.
Yeah, I agree. I thought she was really good. All right, thank goodness. I thought she was really good.
She missed here. I think, like I said it in my review, though, because the first, for the first act, I was still kind of like, uh-oh.
It's Sydney. I get you.
Three. I think she doesn't translate as well with small stuff. So when she's like subtle, I don't know what it is. It gives off deadpan too much. And yeah. I think that's the problem in, like, you know, Madame Web and Anyone But You for me, is she's just trying to be regular too much, and it just falls flat. But once you, and I think that's probably what happens in Euphoria. I haven't seen it. But, you know, the crying and screaming stuff is what goes viral. And I think that's where she's her best, is when she gets to go big, she really shines. And she gets to go big by the end of Immaculate. And it really works.
I think this was one of my favorite final girl performances in a long time. It's been a while.
I want to see her in more horror now.
Yeah, she's screaming. I want to see her in a slasher real bad. Come on now.
Now how do we feel about Immaculate leaning in and they are taking people's quotes? Because these people are shook. They said, ooh, Sydney Sweeney. The liberals had to grab her and make her anti-woke and Christian.
They put it on a shirt, didn't they? Hilarious.
They were putting it on their posters. They are saying it themselves. I'm like, y'all know that Sydney Sweeney's been fighting to make this movie for a decade. What the fuck y'all talking about? Like, they're
I think this is, I much rather her in this than like Madame Web. Madame Web just didn't serve anybody at all. So it's just like this. I thought she was great. I thought her co-stars were also great too. The priest, I thought he was great. I thought the friend that she befriends in the movie is like, that whole thing is like fucked up. The teacher kind of lady is fucked up. It's all a mess. Not in a bad way, but like, this school is crazy. I love me a solid horror opening. I really liked, because Evil Dead Rise,
a rough year for horror.
Yeah, right, for sure. Evil Dead Rise, though, they had probably my favorite like opening / title card.
Yeah,
it's just great the way it's all played out. It's such a good opening, such an effective opening. And this one, I'm not saying the opening is like groundbreaking, but I think the opening is really good. To whereas they're doing a title card while someone's being held captive somewhere. And I think it's really effective. And I was like, I like that. All right. Yeah. You know, I love Mia's. All of my horror scripts start with like a opening that has to hook.
This is a good week for horror, finally. We finally got a good weekend for horror this weekend. Mm-hmm. So, and a good week for both of these horror movies at the box office too. Like, the numbers seem small, but then once we talk about them, we'll tell you why they're not as small as they appear.
Yeah. So we'll get into it from this weekend, but let's just do some quick summaries and quick updates from the weekends that we missed. We first have the weekend of March 8th to the 10th. That was the opening of Kung Fu Panda, Imaginary, Cabrini, Dune only dropping 44%. So give a quick rundown of that week. And then after you do that one, Larry, you can jump right into the weekend after that, which was March 15th to the 17th.
Yeah, that was, so if you listened to our, was it a live? We did a live or a world show or something that week. We did talk a little bit about that box office. And it was a great weekend because Kung Fu Panda blew all expectations out of the window. Opened to almost $58 million in its first weekend of release. That's the second highest opening of the franchise. I remember somebody in the Dune weekend asked us, when was the next $50 million we were going to see? And neither one of us said Kung Fu Panda 4, and it turned out that that was the next $50 million opening. It was nuts. Dune Part 2, though, even going up against a huge opening like that, only dropped 44%. Then we had Imaginary. I think, you know what, though? We always say this, but the budget was small enough. This is going to be another profitable one. But Blumhouse, under $10 million for an opening. Are people getting tired of the formula, Dwayne?
I just don't think it was marketed well. Imaginary was like, I just did not see it anywhere until, like, again, I thought it was coming out in a few months, and then like 2 weeks, like a week before, I'm like, I'm getting screening, like, you know, like, hey, come to this Imaginary screening next week. I said, next week? What? I really don't think it was marketed well at all.
Yeah, Imaginary opened only to $9.9 million, which is pretty low for a Blumhouse. They're usually at least in the teens somewhere. And then Cabrini, Angel Studios, it's the same studios that did Sound of Freedom, which turned out to be a pretty huge box office hit last year. And guess what? They're doing that again this year, where they give out free tickets. doing the pay it forward for Cabrini. But they opened to 7.1. So for this small Angel Studios, look, they got a hold on their little fan base, I think. So so a great opening basically for Kung Fu Panda 4 was that weekend.
And then we had the following weekend. We didn't have any new openings besides Arthur the King. But again, we have really solid drops for both Kung Fu Panda and especially Dune. Dune is like, it's nuts, but the legs that it's been having so far.
Yeah, so Kung Fu Panda held on to number one, dropped 48% in week two for 30 million, which I think is kind of what people thought it would open to. So for week two, Dune Part 2, though, only dropped 38% in its third week of release for 28.5 million, which is just nuts. Arthur the King opened to 7.6 million for Lionsgate, which I think is probably around what we would have expected for that movie. Imaginary dropped 44%, which is actually isn't bad for a horror film for sure, especially one that didn't get like great feedback or word of mouth or reviews. Imaginary, nobody was loving them in the Imaginary. But it only dropped 44%. The problem was, you know, it opened so low that it was still only at 19 million. And then that Cabrini dropped 60%. Meanwhile, Love Lies Bleeding went wide for a $2.4 million expansion for A24. We also had One Life, the Holocaust Bleecker Street movie, opened to 1.7 million. And then, American Society of Magical Negroes.
I did not realize no that. Noise. That bombed. I mean, 13, wow. Like 1.3 million. I mean, I don't know. That moved. That marketing for that movie, the title, everything about it is just wrong. I don't know. It's just nothing. Nothing had me intrigued about that film at
when
all,
it
and
first
I was like,
showed,
I know,
that
man.
First trailer, I was intrigued. I was like, all right, this could be like a really good satire, like you know, like a good message. And then that second trailer kind of showed what it was more, and that's when everybody was like, oh shit, what is this? And that's kind of how I felt coming out of the movie. Like, ooh, this is what? Okay,
because you saw it, and what was it? Mid? I mean, I do want to see it because, like, you know. Everybody black, but it's like, ooh. I don't know.
It just feels so outdated. Like, everything about it is just like, yo. Like, you know, especially after we just got American Fiction that gave a satire on us, you know, similar, not the same, but similar issues, but did it so much better. You're like, all
right. Right. When you look at the way it opens, the script, everything about it is like, it's great. Yeah.
And, so this one, I don't know, but it's already dropped down to less than half a million in week two this weekend. So it's gone, bro.
What else do we have for that weekend? Nothing. So
nothing.
All right. So I guess we can hop into this weekend. We waited long enough. Let's get into March 22nd, 2024. We had the opening for Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, Immaculate, and Late Night with the Devil, which has garnered a lot of controversy for that film.
Oh, my.
All right. So let's get it. Larry, what came in number one?
All right. So opening at number one, we have Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which made $45.2 million at the domestic box office. Worldwide, Ghostbusters made an additional $16.4 million at international markets for a complete total of $61.6 million at the worldwide box office. This is slightly up from the $44 million of Ghostbusters Afterlife that came out in 2021.
All right. I think this is a pretty solid opening around the number that I was expecting for Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. I only had time to see one movie this week. I chose Immaculate, so I didn't see it. But I'm not hearing great things, Larry. Did you like it or what?
I mean, it's not like horrible or bad. It's just not good per se. No. It's just like meh. OK, okay.
Yeah, that's what
there's a lot of nostalgia. But I feel like if you liked that last one, if you liked Afterlife a lot, I mean, you'll probably at least think this was aight. I didn't love Afterlife. I know a lot of people loved it. I thought it was aight. Kind of like that here, too. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I thought
it only got a B plus. It only got a B plus cinema score, which is not great for this kind of movie. So I don't know, but I'll say that my theater was pretty packed. And then when we went to the movies on Saturday, I went and saw Problemista again on Saturday. Mm-hmm. The, what's it called? The Dolby was letting out. And I mean, a ton of people, a ton of families like poured out of that Dolby and had their stuff. So look, what they're doing better than Godzilla is giving us cool merch. I don't know what Legendary and Warner are doing with Godzilla, but man, they are slipping with this movie theater merge. Like, what is going on? But Ghostbusters, they have some awesome
Godzilla merch. Looks so great.
What is, this should be a slam dunk. Like, these two characters give you so much possibilities for such cool stuff that everyone would have wanted. But at least Ghostbusters did that. I got the cute little like Stay Puffed cup that. From AMC.
Yeah, I saw that one when I was
so
there.
Cute. I had to have it. But yeah, they got like some really cool merch. Everybody had their little stuff. Yeah, so box office wise, I don't know. It looks like Ghostbusters are still kicking it. Now, quality of film wise, ooh, we slipping.
Yeah, but I think a really solid opening for Sony and Ghostbusters for Frozen Empire. So we'll see what happens.
It did what you want. It improved on the last one, even if only by $1 million. It's still open bigger.
It didn't go down too, which is important.
Yeah, so which is all you can really ask for. Mm-hmm. And I think the budget is like $100 million, so not like something crazy.
Right.
So
right.
It can definitely make a profit.
It can make it. Because what did it do worldwide?
Worldwide, it started at 61.6.
Okay, I think it can get there.
And it's pretty staggered. It didn't open in that many nations this week.
Maybe in like 2 or 3 weeks, it can probably get like past the budget, you know?
Yeah.
So, I definitely think that's
And this thing. Does mark the number two biggest opening in the franchise. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, I know Ghostbusters fans about to lose their mind. The biggest opening in the franchise is 2016, which opened to 46 million.
I think that controversy helped that movie. It's one of those things. I feel like it was like Joker in a little bit, where like the Joker controversy were like, you know, people kind of threatening stuff. Kind of oddly enticed Americans more to go to the movies.
And it's always hard with these old ones, you know? Right. The first one only opened to 13 million, but that was in the 80s. So 1984. So, you know, what you gonna do?
right. So I think it's still really solid the way it's compared.
Yeah.
Number two, this leaped over the movie that it's been under the past couple of weeks, and we got Dune Part 2 again.
Oof, Dune Part 2 holding strong at number 2 for a third straight weekend. It made $17.6 million in its fourth weekend of release. That's only a 38% drop in its fourth weekend, and that's against a pretty big, another big opening. It's had to fend off like two big openings in its first month, and it's going to have another big opening next week to fend off. But Dune Part 2 now is up to $233.3 million domestic and $574.3 million worldwide. Both of those numbers, well, the domestic number is now beat Wonka for Timothy's highest grossing film at the domestic box office of all time. Mm-hmm. Both numbers have already beaten the first Dune's worldwide and domestic box offices, and it's closing in on Wonka's total worldwide to be Timothy's biggest film ever at the worldwide box office.
So what? I actually have a little bit of a theory as to why this jumped over Kung Fu Panda 4. And I think the fear of losing out on seeing it in IMAX helped it a little bit, because this is like, it's getting scarce for Dune and IMAX. There's still a few, but it's like 1 o'clock and then all the way until like 8 o'clock. I want to see it in IMAX one more time, but I also have a feeling it's going to get a re-release. You know how we get in a lot of these big movies doing like, IMAX re-releases. Yeah, I really feel like in like a year or like, you know, around Oscar time, maybe it'll get a re-release in IMAX theaters when it's like dry, you know, movie wise. So I'm not too worried about it. And I saw it 3 times in IMAX. So I think a lot of people was like, man, I want to see it in IMAX before it leaves. I think that kind of helped the number a little bit.
No, yeah, that's a great theory because it did lose 410 theaters.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's starting to bleed out the IMAX screens and the Dolby screens, all that. Probably by next weekend when Godzilla comes out, it's going to be gone. Like there's that, you know, there's too much now. And that's the thing with these March releases. But we're seeing, at least this year, for the first half of March, they're holding. You know, like Dune has, it's faced tough. It's 2 openings of $45 million or more, and it's held strong against both of those. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Dune Part 2 has just been holding strong throughout this entire month. Almost at $600 million worldwide already. The first movie to cross $200 million this year. First movie to cross 200 million since Timothy's last movie, Wonka, did it. So, I mean, Dune Part 2 having a great run. I think we called it. It's looking to land probably somewhere in the 7 to 750 range worldwide, which is just about what we said. I know some people were really hoping for that billion. I just think it's a little bit tough to get a movie like this to a billion.
The thing about Dune is that it feels like it opened to a massive number. And don't get me wrong, the number that it opened to the first weekend was great. But the buzz online and the way every time I went into the theater, it was crowded. I really thought, you know, I feel like had it gotten to like 120, 130 opening, I think it would have been closer to the billion. Maybe like around 900 or something like that. But without it, and these legs are great too. Like, if it had like Avatar, The Way of Water, kind of like, you know, because that movie opened at like what, 150, I think, around that. And then it just had legs. And that's kind of what's happening to this. But it opened a little too low. It opened like around 80 million. And there's still competition to be had.
Yeah.
You know, it's different than like when Aquaman was out. And then, you know, for a couple of weeks, it was so dry. So, you know, people just kept going to see Aquaman, Aquaman, you know, and it got to that. It opened around 80 and then it got to the $1 billion. I think had completely nothing been around Dune, it could have gotten closer. But I agree with you. Around 700, what we said, 750 is what it's going to end it with.
Yeah, because I think we predicted it would probably have a run kind of like Batman. That's what it's looking like it's gonna do, just almost identical to Batman. And Batman opened a little bit bigger, it just had like harder falls, whereas Dune Part 2 is just holding steady. But it's you know, sometimes we get tricked by the end games or even Oppenheimer last year, but that was just such a that you almost can't even count Oppenheimer and Barbie because they just created such a phenomenon that they're like an anomaly. Like you can't even compare what happened last year with those two to anything else. But you get tricked by like Avatar and stuff. It's hard to get a 3-hour movie to these gigantic numbers just by screenings that you can get and getting people to theaters. And the Batman and Dune Part 2 kind of show you like, if you're going to be 3 hours, kind of a heavy film, a thought-provoking type of film, not super like fun and action-packed light, even though they both are action movies and, you know, it. I don't know. They just both kind of had that same feeling to me of like the more prestige blockbuster type. And those don't usually get up there unless you're Oppenheimer.
Right. And so I think it's just going to be, it's going to be tougher to get where, but hey, listen, it's going to make its profit. It's, you know, it's doing really well. This is a huge surge for more directors to want to get their movies in like IMAX format. Please do more of those. I love the IMAX format, the full screen. I'm a sucker for full screen.
It's so definitely enough to get us a Dune Messiah.
Agreed. And then, so I think this opens the doors for epic scale films like that are not, you know, CBMs. So I'm excited to see how Furiosa does after like a Dune Part 2 success. So we'll definitely see what happens and whatnot when it comes to Dune.
Yeah.
But all right, number three.
All right, so number three, also holding well, but obviously had a little bit harder of a drop than Dune. We have Kung Fu Panda 4, which after 2 weeks at number one, finally fell out of that spot down to number three with 16.799 in its third weekend of release, down 44%. That brings the fourth Kung Fu Panda film up to 133.2 million domestic and 268.1 million worldwide. This weekend, the DreamWorks animated film did pass Kung Fu Panda 3 on the Kung Fu Panda list and is closing in on passing number 2's full run to become the second highest in the Kung Fu Panda franchise.
Wow. Although it got edged out for doing only by a million, but like still really solid drop, you know, nothing too crazy to worry about. Surprisingly, they lost theaters, which is surprising to me, you know, given how it's only 3 weeks in. But a solid number.
I think
number third weekend.
Especially seeing it at the movie theater. I kind of forget what a family experience Ghostbusters kind of is, especially these new ones, because they kind of went back to like having, you know, McKenna Grace being our lead, and she's a lot younger, so it's like teenagers, and you know, they have those little mini Stay Puffs and all these things to really kind of market towards a younger audience. I kind of forget how family friendly Ghostbusters is meant to be, and so seeing it on Thursday already, I was like, oh wow, a lot of people brought their kids to this.
Especially when you put like McKenna Grace and Finn Wolfhard in it, it's like, yeah, you're kind of asking for that young audience to kind of appear.
Yeah, so I think,
you know,
I think that unexpectedly for Kung Fu Panda, I think it turned into more of a direct competition than maybe they thought it would. So it'll be interesting to see what Godzilla does next week, because I feel like that's direct competition against our top two as well. And like, obviously, the blockbuster space. Godzilla's next week?
Holy
shit. Yeah, it's this weekend. It's Godzilla X Kong this coming weekend. So that's what we were saying, is they just stacked them. Dune, Kung Fu Panda, Ghostbusters, Godzilla, all like back to back to back in March.
I did not even realize Godzilla. Oh man, now I'm hyped. I might see it with Mom Dukes.
Ooh,
I'm going to visit next week.
Okay. So that'll be interesting to see how that does. But obviously, like we mentioned, it already passed Migration's entire run for that animated film. We mentioned it particularly with that opening. I obviously, we kind of went through it fast here, but man, I don't know what they're doing, just leaving January and February completely unattended for anything family oriented. For this is the second year in a row they've done that, because they did that last year too, and we saw Puss in Boots have these huge legs. This year we saw Migration have these huge legs, and then this year it kind of confounded because Kung Fu Panda had a huge opening, and I think it's because families were just like starved, like they had nothing to take their kid to for months on end. So if they wanted to go to a movie, they had to not just stay home, because there was nothing for them to go see, and so they all ran out to Kung Fu Panda 4, and it had this huge opening. So if you're a small I think Neon, that would have been a great thing to drop Robot Dreams in February as a Oscar nominee. You get that Oscar nomination, there's no other animation around. Instead, they're holding it until May. I'm like so baffled that movie doesn't come out till May. It's like nuts. But yeah, some of these smaller animated movies, I think, should really look at taking a chance and just like popping up in at least early February or something, because they're leaving it wide open for you.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think that's what we were mentioning that too, that like, you know, the families they're itching. So the Kung Fu Panda kind of, you know, kind of took advantage of that need of like a family film to come out and stuff. So, All right, number four. We were just talking about this a little earlier.
Coming in at number four is Immaculate, which made $5.36 million at the box office this weekend from just over 2,300 theaters for a 2,276 per theater average. That does mark the biggest opening for a neon release ever, and it has yet to release in international territories. So a $5.3 million for Immaculate, setting the new record for neon.
Yeah, and like I feel like a week or two ago, I wasn't expecting I think 5 million for neon is a solid opening. So I think some of the word of mouth of like how nasty it was, some of the you know, that online viral, you know, quote that they put everywhere helped. I think using that for marketing kind of helped it out a little bit, you know, in these last couple days. So I think, yeah, really, really solid. I think Sydney Sweeney is becoming, I don't know, man, we got to put some flowers on her name a little bit. You know, Anyone But You kind of popped off and
big time,
you know, nobody was trying to see that other film. But I think as a lone star, I think she's working.
Yeah, I think Anyone But You was obviously a huge help for Sydney and Glenn. I mean, it was a huge box office success. And now we have this, which is a nice opening for her. Especially, I love to see it for her because she talked about how, you know, this has been a passion project. She got that script like almost a decade ago. She first saw this script and has been working to get to where she could, you know, finance it and help produce it herself and get it out.
It's a crazy story. Crazy
and I think this is a great testament. If you're going to release in March as a small film, trying to get your movie to play at South by Southwest is probably a great thing, because that's where all those clips came from about this movie. Is it premiered at South by Southwest, and you know, all them clips, and it went viral about the craziness. Right. And I think that really kind of helped its general opening.
Yeah, yeah, and I think it's a really solid opening. Listen, for horror and her star power, I would have liked a bit more, but neon films generally make it, like, you know, like if a 5 million is like the highest for like a neon, then that should let you know with how they usually market their films. They don't really usually do, which I feel like this is why I'm kind of nervous for like Long Legs, especially with them not telling anybody what it's about, really. but I'm torn because I love the marketing so far for it and the trailers and I don't know. So, yeah. But I don't see Long Legs doing like a 10 or 15. I see it doing around this, you know, yeah. 4 or 3. So, I mean, we'll see what happens when it comes to that. I know they have a few more coming out too.
Yeah,
stuff this
and
year.
I love Neon as a distributor. Obviously, they take great risks.
This might be my favorite Neon year for that box at the end of the year. Ooh. I'm gonna get Immaculate in that box. I'm gonna get Long Legs. I am turned up. Oh? That Neon box need to be all horror. It need to be like horror, like a horror box. The way it's looking for Neon this year. So I'm hype. I'm hype. All right, and number five, lastly, what do we got?
All right, we got Dwayne's favorite subgenre of film coming in at number five with our latest dog movie, Arthur the King, dropping 43% for $4.3 million in its second weekend of release. Which, what did I say, is a 43% drop, sorry. And that brings Arthur the King up to $14.6 million domestic and $14.7 million worldwide. It looks like it's barely released in any international territories thus far.
Yeah, I the drop is not bad. You know, really good, actually, 42% week two, especially with all this competition and stuff. And, yeah, I think this movie is doing well for the.
It's doing like a Mark Wahlberg movie number. I feel like Mark Wahlberg just kind of like has, like, this is his usual run.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people kind of do want to, they rather see him in more action than, like, I don't know, this. So it's
these, like, Christian movies he does.
Yeah, what's going on here? But hey, I mean, It's doing really. I think it's doing solid so far.
Yeah, it's doing well. It was the one of the mystery movies this month. So, and yeah, it was. I think it's actually quite pretty good. It was better than a lot of these movies end up being. So, it's all right.
So
let's talk about number six, Dwayne.
Yeah, Late Night with the Devil.
Late Night with the Devil, which opened.
I actually really wanted to see it.
Well, I think you need to check it out. But it opened to 2.8 million from just over 1,000 theaters, which, much like Immaculate, it seems like kind of a small number, 2.8. But this is the biggest opening ever for IFC Films, who is the distributor of this film. It's also just a pretty limited release right now before it opens on Shudder, which who was actually acquired the film last year. I got to see this at Denver Film Festival last November, and I really enjoyed it, so I'm really happy. I'm gonna just say this. does it suck for studios to use AI and art? Yes. But this is a tiny production, y'all. Like, I don't know, we're really boycotting this really small independent film for that. It's cheaper. I'm sorry. You know, like, if you got limited funds,
That's kind of what they said, too. They was like, you know, it's just, it's, I don't know.
Like, I don't know. Go after the big ones, you know? Go after, if a studio is doing that, like that AI, whatever, that they just
open AI bullshit, yeah, agreed.
Go after that. Go after studios. Go after ones who have, did this movie even have a $1 million budget? Like, I get it. I get the principle of it, but I don't know. I think sometimes people take it a little bit far on an independent film like this. Like, that's just my two cents. Obviously, everybody is welcome to their opinion. But the film is really good. Like, regardless of AI, the film itself is very good.
Yeah, so. I was gonna do a double feature, but unfortunately, we had to take the cat into the vet. So I was only able to see Immaculate.
Co-host?
She's fine. She's okay. She's alright. She's
trying to jump.
She's a little sleepy, but she's cool.
Okay.
But yeah. So I wanted to do a double feature. I was gonna do Immaculate. I mean, I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to get into Ghostbusters that much this week. So I was trying to do Immaculate and Late Night with the Devil, and then while I was getting ready for Immaculate, I'm seeing all this craziness about the movie, you know, with the devil and everything. I was like, damn, it's getting crazy. So,
yeah. I know. So, it's wild on Twitter. That discourse has got crazy quick on Twitter. I was like, oh, shit. Okay, well, I pretty much have just stayed silent on Twitter. This is the first I've talked about it, but I don't know.
Any other stories this week? I'm looking at we were just talking about it. The American Society of Magical Negroes, 60s, only 440,000 this week. And they gained the theaters. Now, that's rare for you to gain theaters and lose that much, because usually that happens when right below it, Ordinary Angels lost 1,000 theaters and they dropped 64%. That's normal. But when you gain theaters and you still drop in week two, that's bad. That is really bad.
You see it all around him. Ex Huma, I don't even know what that is, but that went up. Problemista, went up. Okay, Problemista expanded. Check it out if you haven't. It's really good.
Madam Web is officially like dead in week six with $83,000.
Oh my, $43 million total.
Fuck,
that is wild. Like. There's just some of these movies that you're like, wow. But The Boy and the Heron, oh, I forgot that had its like re-release with the bonus content after beating Spider-Verse. We were all mad, and this podcast was not. but it re-expanded back into 440 theaters and made an additional 268,000, which is good. The Bob Marley movie is closing in on $100 million. It dropped 51%, but it's up to 95.3 million total domestic.
Really solid for that one, too.
Really, really good number, especially compared to some of the rest of this.
Even Imaginary has been holding up pretty well, too. Like, you know?
I'm so mad. I was supposed to see Love Lies Bleeding this week, and my friend canceled on me.
Still haven't seen it?
I have not seen it. I need to see it. I'm like dying. Bitch. I need to see that shit.
So I think you would love it too. Even the little, even the stupid, the ending is so stupid. But I know there's an
audience. I know the people are divided on that ending. It has
It's so stupid, but I understand who it's for. So I didn't have like a, like Alex was like, you know, I was with Alex at the screening and he's like, what the fuck? And it's like, I had the same reaction. But I know who it's for. It's for the Hannahs. It's for like you and like, you know, like, you know, Megan loved it. And I think Josie loved the ending. It's for the girls. It's
well, even like y'all though, even because I've heard a lot of people who did not like the ending. But this is such a weird case because usually if an ending goes off the rails for people, they hate, they're like, oh, fuck this movie. But everybody who didn't like the ending still liked the movie. So
yeah, I loved it. I loved the movie.
That's why I'm like, even people who are like, oh, that ending was not it, still love the movie, just, which is crazy.
It's just, it's when you watch it, it's like, it's not, because I'm like, what are some endings that are like bad shit? You know, but I feel like it's more than bad shit. It's like, what the fuck? It's like one of those reactions. And I, you know, the screening was packed. There was a lot of like college kids at the screening and all of them seemed to be having a good time. But I know Alex was like, what? And I know that's probably like he was liking it too. And he told me after that, you know, that brought it down a little bit, the ending. And it's, it gets out there. It like really out there.
It's, I feel like I semi can figure just from a shot that I see in that trailer.
Interesting. Like, okay.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay, I'm gonna just say this: the shot of her.
Spoiler, just in case. Spoiler, just in case.
Yeah. So it's just in the trailer because I haven't seen the movie yet, and I haven't seen it. I haven't seen anybody spoil it. Miraculously, I have not. Yeah, like,
I'm surprised.
I saw
a couple of shots on Twitter and I was like, guys, don't do this now, man. Look at this.
I just saw the trailer and I said, like, they showed the trailer in front of like Immaculate before when, because the Immaculate screening here. So I got invited to the screening, but it was one of those screenings that you could also buy tickets for through Alamo Draft House. Yep, so they still showed trailers and one of them was Love Lies Bleeding, which seemed like a good fit to show before Immaculate.
For sure.
But there's just a quick shot in the trailer, which, what's her name? Is it Katie O'Brien? Is that the actress's name?
Katie M. O'Brien. Yep.
Is like hulking out. I don't know. She's like bursting through a shirt. Well, it looks like...
it's okay. But it gets.
Okay. that's what I presumed happened because people are like, it goes wild. And I'm like, it looks like she gets like juiced. I don't know. But.
Like that, well, because like the entire, the entire movie, they're kind of like, there's like moments, this like, it's not a spoiler, but there's like moments where they're kind of like focused on like her veins popping out, like kind of like really overly done. Yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck? But then, so it kind of, so it's a build up of something.
Okay. So it goes, and it goes further. Okay.
Well, it goes further than what you're thinking. And I was like, what the fuck? But then I'm thinking about like a Hannah. I'm like, Hannah will eat this shit up, dude. I don't know, man. I was thinking about it. I was like, yeah, okay. You know?
So, Dwayne, when you going to tap into that Roadhouse?
I almost watched it today at work on Amazon, but I decided to watch I decided to watch Swim Fan. You ever seen that movie?
Yeah, I remember Swim Fan because I used to love that boy.
I don't know why, man. That guy's mad. I'm like, are they fighting over this dude, man? Ooh,
stop.
I love Swim Fan. I used to be, man, you know, I know we're going off the rails, but like, you know, like those Saturday afternoon CW when they just pop a movie on.
Yeah.
It always showed Swim Fan. And I was like, man, there's no Blu-ray for it. And I'm pissed. And I'm like, so I went on Amazon. I rented it like $4 and man, I had a ball today.
Oh, not he rented it. Yeah. You know what else I have to buy? Because apparently it got like a really tiny release. Literally one theater showed it one showtime this week. What? So I have to tell you about this movie real quick, y'all, in case it's showing around you, because I absolutely loved it at the Denver Film Festival last year. Uh-huh. It's called The Animal Kingdom. It's a French movie. If you like mutants, you'll probably like this because it's like, it's a more serious mutiny take. It's really, I loved it. Like, absolutely loved it. But I was waiting and waiting for a release. Finally, they said like March 15th, it kind of comes out. And I was like, all right, I want to see it at a movie theater again. One showing I could find by me, literally at one theater. I was like, what the fuck? But it's available on VOD now. Y'all, I never buy shit like digital.
I never buy digital, but
I'm about to buy this movie digital.
but trust me. Yeah, I don't buy digital at all. Like, you know, like the full price. That's crazy to me. But, yeah. But like when I can't find a movie on Blu-ray, like Swim Fan, I was like, oh my God, Swim Fan. I go on Amazon and I'm like, where is it? And it's not there. It's like the DVD. I don't want the DVD. So then I go on like, you know, Google and I'm like, still no Swim Fan. They have not released it on Blu-ray. So then I was like, damn it, I have to rent it. I got to rent it. So I want to watch it. So.
And now, like, what are somebody just brought to attention? Like, Barbarian got snatched up off HBO. God. That shit ain't got a Blu-ray. Where can you
watch it? I know the guy's working on it, though. I know he's working on it, and they're also working on like a Blu-ray for that movie Hush, that was on Netflix. But this is getting insane, man. It's like, because then I saw like a thing that HBO it took away like 75 films. I'm like, this is the shit I don't like, man.
Because especially, like, when you're in the mood, like, so you just watch Immaculate, you know, a movie that's kind of similar to Barbarian. I think Barbarian goes, like, way more outside of what it is.
Yes, agreed.
But it's a little bit in the same vein of, like, the first, you know, you get going, you're in a groove, and then the third act just goes wild in Immaculate. But it makes you kind of be like, all right, maybe I want to watch, like, a Malignant or a Barbarian, something that goes wild by the end, you know? And then you go on to HBO Max and that shit ain't there. And it don't have a Blu-ray. You can't watch Barbarian anywhere right now. So you're like, well, damn.
Because usually when I think of a film, I'm like, oh, man, let me go see the Blu-ray. Like, I don't know if you ever saw the movie Vacancy. Mm-hmm. You know, the freaking weird hotel. I was thinking about that movie the other day on Amazon, I found it, you know. And then I ordered it. So I got to watch it later on.
Yeah.
Or randomly I was thinking about Sound of Metal and I was like, I still don't have the Criterion. The Criterion, everyone, the 4K is like $25 on Amazon. So I would hop on that. Everybody. I just, mine just came in today. Also too, Amazon has, don't sleep on Amazon. I know Best Buy is like ass and like they got rid of their movies, but Amazon, sometimes we have in deals on movies. And like House of Dragon season one is like $25 right now. Peacemaker is like $19. So Avatar, The Last Airbender, like, you know, people have been getting into the new show. That's like $17 for the entire series. So I would definitely get on Amazon for some of these films.
I know. I just got, thank goodness for Amazon, or thank goodness for Criterion on some of this, because they did like Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. I just got.
Yeah.
So some of these streaming, I know we're fighting for our lives, the little Nimona hive, we're begging for a physical release.
I would hope. It's just Netflix is so grimy when it comes to physical releases.
I know. We're begging. God. We're like trying. We're like, shit, Criterion, can you help us? Somebody help us.
Yeah, I got rid of my Netflix, so I would love a Nimona like Blu-ray.
And so it's some of these that you're just like, damn, something like Barbarian. There was something else that we were like just a couple years ago, within the last year or so, that was like, shit, can we get a physical or what's going on with y'all? Yeah. And sometimes it's like Barbarian, that's a theatrical movie. And you're like, what the fuck? I can't get a physical.
Especially when I'm finding physicals for like these, like C, D, and, you know, F movies, like on Amazon for like $6. Right? I'm like, come on, man. Y'all got to get it together, man.
Yeah, no, some of this is a mess, but I don't know. Us physical collectors, we are fighting for our lives these days, y'all. We are out in these streets having a swing on folks because it's getting rough. It's getting rough for those of us that love the physical, man.
I just bought Priscilla and Color Purple on Blu-ray. Right,
like, shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is too much. I don't know what's going on. I keep seeing Godzilla Minus One. I swear to God, if they do us dirty in the U.S., because those Japan releases have been so fire. Mm-hmm. And I'm so jealous that I'm like, if they give us some bunk ass just Blu-ray, I'm gonna be pissed. I know they said it's getting a physical release here later, but I'm gonna be pissed if they got all these sick ass shit over in Japan and we don't get nothing over here.
We got the scraps, man.
We gonna get just one of those old school, like, blue cases with just a little art on the front and back, and that's it.
Okay, so real quick, let's run into some tracking and just give a quick prediction on Godzilla v. Kong. So right now it's tracking for 43 to 56 next week. I think the movie really missed the mark because Godzilla, the first one, that I feel like without the pandemic, that would have been a massive hit. Yeah. Like, I mean, like 100 and something million. It just like, oh man, it came at a bad time. So I think, unfortunately, now that we're back to normal, this one is coming out at the expense of the last one. Still did a pretty solid opening for, yeah, you know, bringing people back to the theater. But I feel like normal times, 2020, that had to have done like at least 80 to 100 and something million. It would have been a massive hit. But I'll say 50 for next week. What do you think?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm hoping for right now. Is I'm hoping, yeah, it gets to that like 50. I think they've marketed it pretty well. Except for these, like I said, these theaters are making me mad with their little merch. I'm like, what the fuck? But we can't even get like a cool bucket. I don't understand. What, yeah, is this? This AMC bucket, like, what? Because it splits in half? It's like two buckets in one? You thought that was enough? Like, you know how sick it would have been if they would have did what they did for Spider-Verse last year with those heads and given us a Godzilla head and a Kong head? Man. Bitch. Like, listen. That would have been so cool. But no. But, yeah, I think I'm hoping for around, yeah, 50 is what I'm hoping for. I think it can outleg Ghostbusters, mm-hmm, just a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. So I think we'll see, but I think it can do around 50 is what I'm hoping it does at least. So yeah, we'll see what happens with next week. But that is it, everyone.
Dwayne, can we get you go to tomorrow's mystery movie, Dwayne?
Larry, I'm not doing them damn mystery movies.
It's a horror. Tomorrow's theme is horror.
Okay, R-rated. What's coming out? I bet you it's going to be like, what's coming out?
My prediction is it's going to be The First Omen.
I actually do want to see that. But hold on.
That's my prediction of what tomorrow's going to be.
Watch it, Larry. Watch it be like Cabrini again or
listen,
something.
Listen, I'll whoop your ass.
Watch it.
My low-key, my outside chance hope. I don't think it's going to be this, but my like hope is Abigail, but I think it's gonna be The First Omen. Yeah.
The First Omen looks nuts too. I think I'm kind of getting over like the. I think I am. I think what was happening with Immaculate is I liked it, but I think it just felt a lot like The Nun, and like
it's like The Nun meets Rosemary's Baby. Like that, yeah, third act, you know, like what happens turns into very Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah. And it's like, I am starting to get a little worn out with the Jesus horror a little bit, like, you know, horror. The nuns and whatnot. Cause that's The First Omen literally played in front of this. And you might as well can mix First Omen and like Immaculate together. And it's like, you know, we get these like Pope's exorcists, and of course, don't nobody. Yeah. I know somebody's gonna be like, "Well, what about the nun too?" Don't. That's a different. That's a different occasion. But it. I think I'm starting to get a little burnt out with these the devils and the not like conjuring devils, but like when you're talking about like a school of like girls and like a nun, you know, nuns and a weird cult within the school. It's like this Immaculate had that too.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's starting to get a little played. But I am excited for the First Omen though. I do want to see it.
Yeah, I hope it's good. The Omen series, you know, like every horror franchise is
which I haven't
always
watched
a good one. And then whoop.
Years. Yeah. The Omen movies.
Yeah, it's been a minute since I've
seen it. So it didn't even register to me that this was a part of that franchise. I was like, oh shit, it
ain't
is.
There's another religious horror movie on the way too, I think. I'm like, shit. I kept mixing up The First Omen and Immaculate trailers, like when they first started.
That's what I'm saying.
I would be like, which one is it? And then it'd be like one or the other. I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, even the trailers, I think the way they were cut at the beginning of the trailer, it took a minute before I knew which one I was watching.
They played The First Omen before Immaculate, and I was like, is this the movie? What is
He said, well, did we start quick or what's going on?
This is some quick cuts for the movie, but all right, you know, let's get into it.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. But all right, everyone, that is it. Thank you guys for joining us. Larry, let everyone know they can follow you.
Yeah, you can find me over on YouTube as well as Instagram at Chili Boy Productions and on Twitter at Chili Boy YT.
All right, everyone, you can follow me on Twitter at TimAkman4, and you can follow the podcast, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Looking, my gut is telling me it's going to be some good news this week. I'm hoping there is. So if there is, Wednesday or Thursday, we'll do a world show. Look out for either Monday or Tuesday for the Immaculate Review from the Cinemommies crew. And yeah, that is it, everyone. Thank you guys for joining us. My name is Dwayne. Oh, of course, and a review for Godzilla V. Kong. That's it, everyone. Thank you guys for joining us. My name is Dwayne. That was Larry. We'll talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.